Radio Influence. The future is now.
Introducing the world's heavyweight champion, the Crusher.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 10-12-60 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
All right, welcome to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crushell. The con man is behind the glass keeping us on track, and we're your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you want to get to us, questions, comments, or smart remarks, do so. CrushPerformance.com is the website. You can follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. And if you are on Facebook, we've got a very interesting little group developing. It's called the Talent Grid. Go on the Facebook, check out the group, apply, and we will let you in. And we're having a lot of fun there as we connect the world with sport performance. Listen, a real quick start here as we have a jam-packed show. Today, we are taking a look back on the 2016 baseball season. One of the better seasons in recent memory, in my mind. The playoffs were certainly one of the best playoffs I can recall. And it's, I think, a sign that the game is doing very well. But inside of the game, there's also major concerns when we look at the number of injuries and the number of surgeries that are being associated with Tommy John and shoulders in the game of baseball. Not just at the professional level, but right down to the developmental levels. So today we're going to talk about development, and in particular, development for pitchers, as we talk with Coach Ron Wolforth of the Texas Baseball Ranch. We're going to look at their program. It is right now one of the most successful pitcher development programs on the planet. We're going to see what their approach is to not just helping athletes perform in the game of baseball, but also avoid injuries. And then later in the show, we're going to look back to one of our teams to watch this year, which was the Los Angeles Dodgers. We're going to visit with their third base coach, and we're going to look back at their 2016 season. What a fantastic season it was. They started off with some major concerns in terms of injuries, but they persevered, had a great run, and we'll talk about the playoffs as well. And we're also going to ask Chris Woodward about some of the new potential rule changes that are being suggested for Major League Baseball. So let's get to it right after this. A jam-packed show as we look back on the 2016 baseball season and we talk pitcher development. Coach Ron Wolforth of the Texas Baseball Ranch joins us on Crush Performance right after this.
Radio Influence brings you the best in digital media broadcasting. When it comes to sports, we've got experts like national sports radio host Rich Herrera, the fabulous sports babe, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy. Want a good laugh? Then go on the beach with Pants and Roller Girl, or just LOL with Nancy Alexander. And when it comes to real life, Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger and Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill will make you think. When it comes to what you want, Radio Influence has you covered. Find our programming on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at CrushPerformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crushell. Thanks for joining us today as we take a look back on the 2016 baseball season and get prepared for this offseason. For me, one of the most important times of the year is the offseason, especially if we look at what's happening in the game of baseball right now. Despite all of the great things that are going on in the game, there are some major concerns, and most of those concerns revolve around the issue of injuries in the game, and not just at the pro level, but at the developmental levels, we're seeing more Tommy John and shoulder surgeries than we've ever seen before. And a lot of this has to do with just the simple fact that the throwing motion in baseball is potentially one of the most dangerous and damaging movements in all of sport, especially if you're not prepared for it. Well, for the pitchers out there, there's a place you can now go to get yourselves ready for the game of baseball. We're joined now by Coach Ron Wolforth, the founder of the Texas Baseball Ranch. Ron, thanks for joining us today.
You bet. Glad to be here.
Well, listen, I've been very excited to have you on the show after seeing you at the EBCA conference in France. It's interesting to see how baseball is sort of getting this global appeal and people are actually trying to look at maximizing performance in the game of baseball. I think it's fantastic for the game.
It sure is. And what's really neat is we're starting to see people integrate a lot of different things, all the way from nutrition to physical therapy to athletic training to strength and conditioning, all the way to movement pattern development. And it just it's fun to watch.
It sure is. Well, let's talk about the Texas Baseball Ranch. Maybe give us a little background. This is one of the strongest developmental programs on the planet right now when it comes to developing pitchers. You guys have a fantastic approach, but there are some very hardcore fundamentals. Maybe let us know what brought the Texas Baseball Ranch to fruition here. What was the driving force?
Well, that's a really good question, Jeff. And you know, I always tell my staff, it's kind of funny you bring that up. I always tell my staff, we got to start always with why. We start with why before we go to the how. And the why behind the Texas Baseball Ranch is that I was, when I grew up, I was a Nebraska farm boy, or a small town, Nebraska. Always had a love for baseball, and everybody would tell me, you know, growing up, they would say, you know, if you really want things bad enough, if you just want things bad enough, it'll happen for you. Well, I really wanted to be a Major League Baseball player, and it never happened for me. Although I had certainly above average arm, I was in the upper 80s as a pitcher when I was 19, 20 years old, and back in when I was pitching, which was 77 pitching college ball, which is 1977 to 82, right in that window. Certainly 88 miles an hour was certainly respectable. Nowadays, you know, if you're not above 90, the whole thing has shifted. They're back in the late 70s, early 80s, certainly 88 was acceptable. So, but I never got any interest, and I never really played to the level that I think I was capable of. And the reason for that is I didn't really have the right information. I had a very high drive, but I really didn't get great coaching. So when I became a coach, I really was passionate about being able to be the guy that was there to help somebody like me, younger me, maximize their talent, to really draw out as much as I could from their innate athletic potential. And so that was a driving force behind the ranch. The question I always ask, if I had a really high motivational level and a fairly good athletic level, well, why is it that I didn't I wasn't an exceptional baseball player? So that quest has always brought me back to trying to find out the mysteries why some people underachieve or some people don't really achieve like they otherwise may have with the high drive and decent athletic ability. So that is really the core driving force every single day from the Texas Baseball Ranch.
We're talking with Coach Ron Wolforth of the Texas Baseball Ranch. You can check their program out at thetexasbaseballranch.com. Ron, it's very interesting you mentioned that. You know, we have this whole big conversation revolving around talent development and skill acquisition, and it goes back to an age-old sort of conflict of nature versus nurture. It's something that's been sort of a major focus of the talent development community for years and years and years. We know that, as you mentioned, you know, you can have that athletic talent, but if you don't get exposed to the right environment, you may never, ever achieve your potential. And I think what the Texas Baseball Ranch has done, if we look at the number of great players that you guys are developing down there, and now the players that are gravitating towards that environment, you created a fantastic environment where athletes of all different levels can really aspire to achieve their potential, whatever that might be.
Yeah, and the environment, or what we call the culture, but it is certainly what you, in your terms, the environment, is absolutely, you're right, it's absolutely critical. And what we've done, probably the gift for me, or the blessing for me, is I started out as a pre-med major, and they ended up in exercise physiology and motor learning and sports psychology. And so while I didn't have an exceptional career athletically, I did have an exceptional career academically. And so I was able to visit with orthopedic surgeons. I was able to visit with physical therapists. I'm able to visit with gentlemen like you that really do. They're basically scientists. I know a lot of people don't like to say that word, but really you really are a scientist, and be able to then also connect with the grassroots baseball and movement pattern thing. So the secret to the Texas Baseball Ranch, if there is a secret, is in its holism, its ability to connect all the dots from nutrition to physical therapy to strength conditioning to motor learning to mobility, flexibility, strength and conditioning, all those elements, and put them in a very holistic training program. I think a lot of people are good at one sliver. Jeff, we know what we're not good at, or is not as good as we'd like to be. So we don't try to be the smartest guy in the room. We try to marry ourselves or partner ourselves with people like you that really, and if you get enough people in a room that are like that with a common value and create a culture, it is amazing what can occur. And it's certainly the case, because we just had our 270th athlete break the 90-mile-an-hour barrier. We've now had over 100 arms that have broken the 94-mile-an-hour barrier. And we've had over a dozen guys break 100 miles an hour. So it's an exciting time.
It sure is. We're talking with Ron Wolforth, the founder of the Texas Baseball Ranch. You can check out their website, texasbaseballranch.com. Ron, baseball is... I don't want to say in a state of emergency right now, but there certainly are some major concerns when we look at what's been going on around the game in relationship to the injury rates that we're seeing. And not just sure. At the professional level, though that is a massive concern for sure, especially when we look at, you know, just the health and welfare of these players that love the game. We also see the stress on the teams, most certainly, but it's also trickling down to the developmental levels. Dr. Andrews is saying he's seen a tenfold increase in high school and younger players in Tommy John surgeries. Ron, there's something seriously wrong when we're seeing this massive increase in injuries that are requiring surgeries, and that's has a lot to do with your philosophy and approach to the game is solving those problems.
Yeah, that's so true. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you know, but I'm going to speak at Dr. Andrews' course. It's called it's the ASMI National Injuries in Baseball Conference that is going to be held every year. It's held this year in Dallas, but I'm going to be a keynote, one of the major speakers there, and that's certainly on everybody's mind. And I think one of the first things that I would like the listeners to understand in your show is, for the most part, one of the reasons that injuries are on such a high increase is that we've actually misdiagnosed and misinterpreted many of the causes of it. We have just simply believed up until this point that it's simply been workload that's causing all these injuries, and although workload is one of the contributors certainly to this influx of injury, it is far more complicated than that. And we have had we've actually identified six different categories of pain and pain contributors and contributors to injury, and really workload is really, in our view, number five. The five most important is not even in the top four. So I think you're going to see, Jeff, in the next 10 or 15 years, you're going to see be able to answer some of those questions, and I think we're going to have a better view and a better approach in how to keep our young people healthy.
I think so. We're talking with Ron Wolforth of the Texas Baseball Ranch. Ron, it's interesting. You know, we see a lot of programs talking about mechanics and trying to, you know, again, teach a sort of blanket approach to the throwing motion. And that's just not how it works in the real world. And, you know, I've had a chance to sit in on a couple of your presentations, and I really like the philosophy and the approach you guys have when it comes to, you know, developing throwing athletes and letting them sort of harness their own, I guess, advantages, their own innate advantages. And I also like the fact that you don't necessarily talk about mechanics, so to speak, as much as right. The art of throwing, I guess, might be the best way to say it.
Yeah, that's really true. It's that, you know, here's the thing about mechanics. Mechanics, of course, movement patterns. Let's just change the verbiage a little bit. Of course, movement patterns. We don't call them mechanics because mechanics to the average person means positions in space and time. And the problem with using the term mechanics is that you take a person like Randy Johnson, and a person like Greg Maddux, and a person like Roger Clemens, and a person like, let's say, Pedro Martinez.
Yeah.
Their movement patterns are all unique. And so whose mechanics are we talking about? Is there, you know, so really we're talking about movement patterns and movement patterns that are more efficient and movement patterns that are less efficient. And you know, it goes back to this. We try to make things really, sometimes we try to make things too simple. We try to cookie cut or clone it. And if you go back and you look at Einstein, when he was talking about physics, he would say, it's important to make things simple, but not more simple than they can be. So if you go too far, what you end up doing is you end up watering this down to the point where it doesn't make any sense anymore. And we've got to realize that one size does not fit all. If there's one message that I would like to really implore the people of listening, is that there is no one ideal perfect model to throw with. If you just think of it, you close your eyes and you can picture Tom Seaver throwing. You can picture Nolan Ryan throwing. You can picture Sandy Koufax. You can picture Louis Tiant. Juan Marichal, you can picture Clayton Kershaw, and they're all unique and different. You've got to dig deeper. You have to go a little bit deeper, and you've got to find out, are there principles that apply? Sure, but, you know, we can't make this too simple and start inhibiting young men's athleticism and trying to create a version, an ideal version based on our perceived model of perfection. And it's just a bad idea. And what the ranch does, it turns that on its head. We really build athleticism and degrees of freedom.
I love it. We're talking with Ron Wolforth of the Texas Baseball Ranch. Ron, you know, for coaches and parents and athletes out there, there is so much information available, and some of it, frankly, is conflicting information. If you had a message to send out to maybe some of the baseball parents and the players and coaches who are listening here tonight, when it comes to development, what would be a message you would send to them just in terms of looking at, you know, heading into the offseason and also in terms of long-term development?
I would say that the number one thing that you really want to keep in mind is athleticism trumps everything. So I would call it the ultimate prism. You know, you look through the prism, you want to make sure that you keep your athlete being athletic. And I think so. You have to ask the question. Okay, so first of all, should we move like this? Well, then ask yourself the question. Does that look more athletic or less athletic? Does that look more explosive or less explosive? Does that look more connected or less connected? And those are the kind of questions that you really should be asking. And the second thing that I would tell people is that you really need to match yourself up with create kind of a dream team for yourself. Let's say, really get a physical therapist that can help you be balanced, your strength balance, that really you look for constraints in mobility or strength you try to find that. Get a strength coach that understands that he's not giving you a cookie-cut model, that he builds it. He personalizes or customizes his work based on what you as an individual need. And then find a movement, find a pitching coach, or in other words, a movement pattern coach that will help you be you. They won't take away from the innate natural specialness that you bring. You're unique, and then tries to work around it. Helps you build your personal signature around strong foundational or fundamental movement pattern. So really, the guy that thinks he can remake you in his own image, that's the guy I think you got to be careful of, because as I joke all the time to people that come into the Texas Baseball Ranch, Jeff, I say, you are unique in this universe. If you don't think so, ask your mother. She'll verify that. There's never been a guy like you, and there'll never be another guy like you. So you need to have your own individualized, hyper-personalized program going forward.
Well, Ron, you know, the baseball season has wound up. Major League Baseball player awards have been handed out. I think we're seeing a really cool trend at the professional level of sport as we see these young players coming in and not just competing at the highest level, but impacting the game, you know, embracing the competition, embracing the game, and really having a good time up there. I think it's a really great time for sport in the game of baseball to see these young players coming up and having such great success.
It really is, and it should excite a lot of young players. Is that you can really make an impact and just get out there and really get your and go to work on your skill and really you can make an impact very very short in a very quick fashion. Whether that's in your college program, I think you know this, but my son is a sophomore at Dallas Baptist University, and he played, I think, 22 games as a freshman and had a very good freshman year. So you really can make a difference. If you really develop yourself as a complete athlete, you can make a difference, whether that is in the college programs or professionally. No longer do you have to be, 29 to 32 years old. You can really make a difference even early in your career.
It's great stuff, and education is a big part of that, Ron. We know you guys annually hold a fantastic event. It's coming up in early December. Maybe tell us a bit about this before we let you go.
Yes, it is. I've been doing it, Jeff, for 17 years, and it started out, Tom House and I did one way back 17 years ago. I think we had 22 people at it. Now I have over 200 attend. And basically what it is, to be frank with you, is that I try to bring in 10 or 12 of the people that I would most like to listen to in the room. That's people like, well, how do you decide that? I mean, how do you decide who? It's basically that, Jeff. It's really kind of funny. I go, no, really, I want to bring in people I want to listen to, because I feel like if I'm really curious on what they're going to say, I just feel like everybody else is going to be. And it's been really successful. We've been doing it for 17 years. The secret to it is that it is all about pitching. It's a three-day thing. It's all about pitching. The pitching is the focus, but it's all about pitching in a lot of different ways. I bring in, let's say an expert in nutrition and really talks about how does nutrition affect the training of pitchers, the recovery of pitchers, blah, blah, blah. The strength coach comes in. How does strength is a pitcher unique or a thrower unique? Then we bring in a physical therapist. Same question. We bring in guys to talk about the tactics of the strategy. Talk about recovery. Talk about developing velocity, developing command, developing a secondary pitch. So it's 8 or 10, sometimes even 12 speakers talking about pitching from a lot of different perspectives. And a lot of people, we sell this thing out, but the good news is that we bring in a professional film crew, and we videotape the entire symposium. And so, we probably sell, between 200 and 400 DVDs of the 8 to 12 different presentations that are given over these last couple of days. And so it is an amazing event. So if you can, I highly recommend you get down to Houston and pick to get one of those. It's always the second weekend in December. But if you can't, the DVDs are an incredible resource. And if you're a big fan of yours, we have invited you to speak. I've heard you speak in many different times, and we're really excited to have you speak next year. And I'm really looking forward to having you.
Great, Ron. Well, I'm looking forward to it as well. There's nothing like spreading the good word, sharing information, and every time we sit in rooms like that with great speakers, and we learn a lot. I mean, in France, I think I have 12 pages of notes for crying out loud. So it never ends. Listen, Ron, I really appreciate you and everything you guys do down at the Texas Baseball Ranch. Thanks for your time today. Great conversation.
You bet, Jeff. And I can't wait to talk to you again soon.
All right, there you go. A fantastic conversation with Ron Woolforth, founder of the Texas Baseball Ranch. Fantastic program. And they are developing pitchers. Let me tell you something right now. They just had their 270th athlete graduate from the program. And when you look at some of the players who are now going there to get help and advice, well, the program speaks for itself. I have to thank Ron for that. We have to cut out for a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to take a look at the 2016 season with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Chris Woodward, the third base coach, will join us after this to talk about their fantastic season and their playoff run. We'll also ask him about the new potential rule changes in the game of baseball right after this on Crush Performance. Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Crochelle, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at crushperformance.com.
And welcome back to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crochelle. The con man is here behind the glass keeping us on track, and we are your weekly source for performance information. If you want to get in touch with us, do so. Crushperformance.com is the website. You can get to us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. And if you're on Facebook, join our group, The Talent Grid. We're just hooking everybody up with the world of performance. Today, we're taking a look back on the incredible 2016 baseball season and what might have been the even more incredible 2016 postseason. One of our teams to watch this past season was the Los Angeles Dodgers for a number of reasons. And joining us now to talk about their season and their postseason run is their third base coach, Chris Woodward. Woody, thanks for joining us today.
Always a pleasure, Chris.
Well, hey, we're looking back on a fantastic 2016 baseball season, but I have to ask you this, Woody, going into the playoffs, you guys got off to a rough start during the season. Going into the playoffs, you guys were hot, and what a ride it must have been for the Los Angeles Dodgers. What was it like being inside that organization over the course of the year and heading into the playoffs?
I mean, it would take me an hour to just understand. Looking back, it was incredible. It was an incredible ride just from day one. When we assembled the team in spring training, you know, we're looking at it and we're thinking these things are going to line up, and, you know, one injury after another, one pitcher after another. And then our best pitcher, Kershaw, got hurt, you know, for 3 months. And we didn't even know if we were going to get him back, to be honest with you. So to get him back before, you know, in September, and to play as well as we did, you know, down the stretch, probably about the midway point, our team really kind of started to understand that they have to come together and, you know, they have to lean on one another a little bit more. The Hollywood stigma had to kind of go out the window, and we just kind of had to scratch and claw to get back in the thing. And, you know, we were 8 games back at one point, thinking there was no chance to catch the Giants. And they obviously helped us. They didn't play well, but at the end, you know, guys were confident. We were rolling. We were pitching. We were hitting. Pitching and defense kept us in every game all year. But towards the, you know, getting into the playoffs, we honestly felt like we could beat any team in the National League and the American League for that matter. So, you know, we had our sights set on the World Series, and, you know, it came a couple games short, but, it was pretty special ride. That Washington series was, you know, every bit as as hectic as it probably looked on TV, down to the last pitch of the last game. It was pretty incredible. To win that one and to move on was obviously pretty special. But the Chicago series, I felt like we kind of ran out of gas. We had a 2-1 lead in the series, and you know, had a real good opportunity to actually win the series. And you know, we didn't play good. You know, the last three games, like I said, I feel like we kind of ran out of gas. A lot of guys were playing through some things, and guys had played more games than they'd ever played. You know, our rookie shortstop Corey Seager had played more games in his life than he ever had. So he was literally out of gas. So it was fun to watch, and it was fun to be a part of. And, you know, hopefully, you know, that'll kind of steamroll us for next year. We can learn a lot from that, and guys can build off of that.
Well, they talk about experience and the power of experience. You guys are going to have a great core of players there that know what they're shooting for, that's for sure. And that Washington series, you are absolutely right. It was one of the fantastic highlights of what was an absolute great postseason. I mean, this was a very, very special playoff run for a number of reasons. The Cubs, of course, but every series was laden with great plays, great performances, great pitching, and some big hits as well, which is exactly what the game's all about. Really good for the game of baseball, Woody.
Yeah. I mean, like I was talking to you earlier, that I didn't really get a chance to see a ton of the other games, but, you know, the highlights and, you know, a lot of the games we watched were, you know, it was fun. It was exciting. Every game seemed to have some critical moments and critical plays, you know, some late, some early in the game. And it was great. It was great for the game. I think there was a lot of youth, which was cool. A lot of the teams weren't stacked with old veteran players. They were, you know, I mean, shoot, the Cubs had a bunch, you know, their whole team is pretty much young, aside from a few of their starting pitchers. But the Indians, I mean, they had a youthful, it was really exciting. You know, it was fun to see these newer faces, kind of the new faces of the game are kind of coming out, and the Francisco Lindors, the, you know, Javier Baez, the Anthony Rizzos, the Corey Seagers, those guys are, you know, making a name for themselves, and they're going to be the next superstars in the big leagues.
We're talking with Chris Woodward, the third base coach for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Well, it's interesting you bring up the idea or the concept, or I guess the fact that we're seeing a lot of great young players entering the league and not just playing there, but really impacting the game, Woody. And it's a trend that's really happening around the league, not just in the teams that were in the playoffs. I mean, the MLB Player Awards were given out here, and if you look at the average age of the players who are, you know, winning the big awards, it's pretty interesting to see that there's some young guns that are really shaping the game for the future. I think it's great to see.
Yeah, and it's actually, you know, it puts a hole in a lot of people's argument that you need to have experience to succeed. I believe it helps to have experience, but a lot of times experience is just experience. That's all it is. And you know, a lot of times that youthful exuberance, that passion, that enthusiasm, you know, can override some of that experience because you don't really know. Like, you're just kind of out there playing, and you know, and I truly believe that the best athletes and the best competitors are the ones that are kind of free-spirited anyways. When you learn to kind of get in touch with that as an athlete, where you have no fear. I struggled with fear my whole career, and people that watch me could probably see it. When I was fearful, I wasn't very good. And when I wasn't, I was really good. So it was hard for me to kind of tap into that. And, you know, I think that the industry and the staffs and the coaching staffs around and the front offices are kind of just letting guys, you know, play when they get out there. And I think there isn't as much pressure being put on guys. I think the younger guys are just kind of like, you know, and I love Joe Maddon to death, and, you know, his attitude of, you know, what is pressure? You know, what are expectations there? You know, we want expectations. And when younger players kind of embrace that, they don't have any fear. You know, and it's almost like, you know, as an older guy and an older player, you know, I look at that and, you know, as a player, I would get kind of mad sometimes because, like, who does this guy think he is? But now that I'm a coach and I see, like, he thinks he belongs.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great thing because, you know, it does. It frees their mind up. It frees their athleticism up. And you see these guys, they're fearless. Yeah, which is awesome to watch.
Yeah, it is awesome to watch because they're having fun too, Woody, at the same time. They're out there, they're having a good time, you know. We got a chance through the playoffs to see, you know, a lot of the pregame preparation, guys hitting, guys out there getting ready for the games. And it was really great to see guys out there having fun. I mean, that was part, I think, of the allure of this playoffs.
Yeah, and it's a fine line because, like, as a coach, you know, and I believe in having fun. I believe in enjoying the process, but I try to stay away from the word fun when I'm coaching. I actually tend to use the word embrace more. Embrace it, enjoy the experience, you know, stay in the moment, soak it in without losing focus on what you're trying to do. Because I think a lot of times when they just say, hey, just go out and have fun, you know, you treat it like a Sunday backyard game where you're having a couple beers and trying to swing as hard as you can, you know, and a lot of these younger players aren't like that. They don't, you know, you can tell they're having fun, but they're just comfortable being out there playing, but yet they still have a focus. You watch Anthony Rizzo. He's not happy when he gets out.
Yeah.
You watch Lindor when he strikes out. He's not happy after he gets out. He's not having that much fun. But when, you know, obviously when the moment happens, you know, he enjoys it. He embraces the fact that he is competing. And it's, you know, I think that, you know, most of the guys, you know, throughout my career, the guys that really, really, competed on a daily basis, on a pitch-to-pitch basis, they weren't really happy all the time. You know what I mean? And I think that a lot of times I wish I could have embraced what some of these younger guys are doing. You know, enjoy the fact that you got a hit. Enjoy the fact that you hit a homer. There's nothing wrong with that. I think in other sports, they embrace it. In our sport, it's always been kind of a no-no, almost like in golf. Like if you hit a hole-in-one, like it's, you know, I just give a couple slaps of a high five and move on to the next hole. Well, guys hit doubles now and, you know, they're on second base. They're giving, you know, they're pointing to the dugout. They're bringing the whole team. You know, now the entire team is involved with their success. And I think that is what is really, you know, carried things through. And you see these younger teams that are able to succeed because they're just like, they're like a little league team that just wants to, just trying so hard to win that they're just cheering for their teammate no matter what. And whoever gets the success, they're happy for them. As in the past, it was a little bit more self-serving and it was, you know, I'm going to do my job, you do your job, and we'll try to come out on top. Well, it's not like that anymore. There's more of a fraternity, you know, type atmosphere, and it's really fun to watch.
Yeah, and it is, and I guess that's what I meant. It is fun to watch, but I like the concept of embrace. That is a real great approach. We're talking with Chris Woodward, third base coach for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Well, you guys had a great run, Woody. We're going into the offseason here, and listening to the news coming out of the commissioner's office, the CBA is coming up, so there's always tension there going into the offseason. We'll leave that one alone. But there's rumors of maybe some changes coming to baseball in terms of the rules. And over the last few years, you know, we've seen some rule changes that might be smart. I mean, I think the addition of the wild card, expansion of the wild card teams in the playoffs was great. The no collision rule at the plate, the slide into second might be a little debatable. But some of the new rules I wanted to get your opinion on. One of the things they're looking at is altering the strike zone. And as a former player and now coach, I just wanted to get your opinion or your thoughts on what that might mean for players.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the strike zone has always been, there's always been a human factor behind it. You know, with the umpire having the say yes or no. So you can't argue balls and strikes, you know, from a manager's standpoint. There was always kind of a, you know, they always had the ultimate power, the umpires did. And, you know, as the years kind of went by, I know when I got to the big leagues, it was pretty bad. I mean, they could call whatever they wanted. You know, I'm not going to complain, but, you know, as a younger player, in my day, you got, you know, 4 or 5 inches on either side that were called strikes on you, and you couldn't do anything about it. And it was frustrating because, you know, you had to kind of earn the right to get, like, strikes called, or balls, I should say. So that part of it, you know, has completely changed because now they have, you know, the strike zones, they have the on-TV strike zones.
Yeah.
So if they call a pitch 5 inches off the plate, I mean, they're getting blasted by the, not only the announcer, but sometimes on ESPN, sometimes on Baseball Tonight, you know, everybody's kind of exposing the fact that they didn't make a good call, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think it holds them accountable. It holds the umpires accountable. So when you talk about the strike zone, we have to clearly define what is a strike, because it used to be in the old book, it was like from the, you know, the numbers or the letters to the knees. I mean, they don't call it the letters anymore. It's more the waistline and to the knees. And if they're going to, if they can make an electronic strike zone, I honestly wouldn't be against that, because it just takes all the doubt out. It just takes all the complaining. The hitters won't complain. They have nothing to complain about, because if it's a machine calling it a strike or a ball, okay, it's a strike or a ball like that. There's no disputing that. I don't know how they could do that. If they can kind of put like something in the umpire's ear as he's back there to tell him strike or ball. I don't know. I don't know how they could do that, but I don't think as long as the umpires are calling balls and strikes, I think it'll stay the same. I don't see them making a drastic change unless they make it higher, but they can't go any more off the plate. They might go back to the original, you know, just below the letter strike zone. I don't know what they're thinking about changing, but
yeah, well, they're talking about raising the bottom of the strike zone and the fact that their pitchers aren't going to have to throw the pitches on an intentional walk. So a couple of changes there. And I think, Woody, in the big picture, this is all sort of in the idea of maybe speeding up the game. There's also the idea of limiting pitching changes and also putting a time clock, which was used in the minor leagues a little bit this last year, and they've had some good results. But what do you think about the concept of speeding up the game, maybe limiting pitching changes or getting a 20-second time clock between pitches?
I don't know about the time clock. They definitely do that now. They just don't penalize you. So they're always they give you warnings. They send you warnings for the time if you take too long in between pitches. I don't love that idea because it's just it takes away from the flow of the game. Guys are kind of looking around and hitters are wondering how much time they have left. But the raising of the strike zone, I think, would actually hurt pitchers. I don't see that being a good thing, just because it's going to make pitchers throw the ball up a little higher. And when the ball is just above your knee, it's actually a lot easier to hit than when it's actually down at the knee. What was the other one you said?
Well, it was limiting pitching changes. I mean, there was a lot of pitching changes.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was an average of 7.7 pitchers per game this last year. And so the number of pitching changes is escalating greatly. So it's one of the points that are in the conversation for speeding up the game.
Yeah, I honestly don't see that. I'm not a huge fan of that, just because if you allow them to keep as many pitchers on the roster as they have, then they should be able to use whichever one they want. Now, if it's five or six moves, obviously as a manager, you have to really consider wisely who you bring in and when you bring them in. So it would honestly change. I think the ripple effect would change contracts. It would change the amount of years you give them, the amount of money you give guys, because Andrew Miller kind of proved a lot of people wrong in how you use a bullpen. You know, like Francona brought him in the fifth or sixth inning sometimes.
Yep.
Kept him in for a couple innings. And which, you know, if he gets through those innings, then it allows him to use less. But if you have to take him out, now you have to use three or four more pitchers, you know, after him. So it's, that's a tough one. I don't see how they can do that. I think one of the better, you know, throughout the course of the regular season, the first 5 months, I always thought, you know, when it got down to September, you shouldn't be allowed to have 40 pitchers or 40 players on your roster in September. I that's one thing. I think the September games, the average time probably increased by 30 minutes.
Yeah.
On average.
Yeah.
Every game we played was 4 hours because the other managers were bringing in new pitchers in the sixth inning, fifth inning, and it was one after another. Like, we played a couple of teams where we went seven straight hitters with a different pitcher. So it was like, because we were right, left. And it was, you know,
it was maddening,
like, okay,
right?
Ridiculous.
Talk about taking away the flow of the game. We're talking with Chris Woodward, the third base coach for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Well, hey, Woody, one last thing before we let you go here. There's also talk, and this is an interesting one for me, about expansion. So there's talk about potentially adding two teams to the league, one in Mexico, potentially Montreal. There's a couple locations that they're looking at as well. What do you think expansion would mean for the league? I mean, we look at the talent pool right now. It seems very, very strong. The league is strong financially. The revenues are great. Television ratings are up, and gates are really, really strong. So what do you think expansion and addition of two teams might mean to the game of baseball at the professional level?
I think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great, especially if, you know, if Mexico or, you know, Montreal, as long as you got a, you know, obviously a good place for them to go and a good fan base that's ready to, you know, welcome a Major League Baseball team, that'd be great. It'd obviously create more jobs. It would thin out the pool, the talent pool a little bit, but that's fine. I'm sure there's a lot of players that I know if I was a player, you know, I wouldn't mind there being an expansion team. It just means there's, you know, 400 more jobs basically, including minor leagues that are available.
Yeah.
You know, you got staff members, you got front office, you got GMs, you got two new managers, and all those obviously players. So it's, I think it'd be great.
And Woody, one last thing. What do you think about a 154 game schedule, shortening the schedule a little bit?
I'm not against that at all. I think that we play too many anyway. I wouldn't be opposed to 140 games. Obviously, I know that that's never going to happen because of the statistics that are involved. And I don't see why we couldn't go back to 154 games. I don't know if the owners are going to want to do that, because that would be eight less. Well, it'd probably be four less ticket sales, because you're going to play half of them on the road and half at home. But I wouldn't be against it. I think it would help the players. I think it would kind of make, you know, because a lot of times when you get to the postseason, like I said about our team last year, you know, guys are pretty much on vapors. Like it's a long season, especially if you have to, you know, in basketball, I know Popovich with the Spurs, you know, sits a lot of his players throughout the course of the season to try to keep them healthy,
yeah,
keep them, you know, fresh for the playoff run. But, you know, in baseball, it's hard to do that because you guys lose timing. You can't just sit a guy for three games to give him rest. Then they lose their timing, and, you know, who knows what happens after that. So, and it's not as physically demanding as basketball is or football. So you feel like you should be able to go out and play every day, but that eight games less would really help guys to kind of be a little bit more, you know, at the top of their game, maybe a little more closer to 100%. Well, I would never be 100%, but closer to higher level of performance to go into the playoffs, which would be cool because you want to see guys at their best. You don't want to see guys that are
that's the thing.
Out of gas.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wonder if it would probably impact the injury rates as well, Woody. So, yeah, no, interesting stuff. Well, hey, listen, Woody, thanks for your time today. Listen, congratulations on the great season. We'll follow you guys with interest over the offseason as player moves slowly get underway here. We'll watch the CBA with interest, and we'll maybe talk to you as spring training approaches.
Sounds good, Chris.
There you go. A pretty cool look inside the 2016 season with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Chris Woodward, have to thank him for that. I also want to thank Coach Ron Wolfworth of the Texas Baseball Ranch for joining us. And I also want to thank you for tuning in today. Coming up in the next few weeks, we'll be looking at specialization in sport. What are the pitfalls of specializing too early? And we're also getting set for what might be our favorite show of the year, the Crush Top Gift Ideas for the Athlete on Your List this holiday season. That'll be coming up as the holidays approach. Want to thank you again for tuning in. I'm Jeff Crochelle, and this has been Crush Performance. Remember, we're here to help you think like an athlete.